right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Fearcast. This is the podcast dedicated to OCD and anxiety spectrum disorders and getting your life back. I'm your host, Kevin Foss, and I'm a licensed therapist specializing in OCD and anxiety. Thank you all so much for joining me today. This will be a fun episode. Hopefully this will be fun. I'm going to answer two questions. I have a couple of audio questions that are kind of in the bank. I've got one that I need to answer. I know one I'm trying to schedule with a guest to come on to help me answer that question. So instead, I went to the emails. Which I do. I still look at every email that gets sent in. So actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. For those of you who are new, this is a question and answer based podcast where you, the listener, get to send me, the therapist, questions about OCD and anxiety disorders, how to help a friend or a family, how to help yourself with things, how to find a therapist, how to talk to a therapist, how to deal with ridiculous therapists. Those are some of my favorite questions. There's so many ridiculous therapists, myself included. But man, there are a lot of weirdos out there. Man. Therapist, that's what I'm talking about. So anyways, but back to it. So you can send me a question. Go over to fearcastpodcast.com and send me a question over there. And I get those, I read those, I consider those, and I have a ton of those questions that I'm gonna eventually get to all of them. And today I'm gonna go through two of them. As I've mentioned before, audio questions tend to go to the top of the list. For a number of reasons, but today I'm going to go through just two quick emails that I got, and it's kind of mixed things up. We've had a lot of ROCD and a lot of sensory motor, and while I love those and while those are very important to people out there who are struggling with those, today I'm going to go over two other questions. All right, so before I get into the question, I wanted to go over a little bit of a health scare that I had recently. And while it may sound silly to some, it may sound terrifying to others. And I just wanted to share kind of what my thought was, what my worry was, and what my approach was. And it kind of falls in line with a lot of what we've been talking about with health anxiety and dealing with intrusive thoughts about one's health and about the possibility about terrible health things that could befall us. And a lot of it is going to be in line with the conversation I had a couple weeks ago when I had the authors of The Complete Guide to Overcoming Health Anxiety. That's Josh Spitelnik and Michael Steer. You guys can go back and listen to that episode in your own time. But it's so here's what happened. So I was preparing for a local, the SoCal IOCDF affiliate. OCD SoCal. Wait, it's called OCD SoCal. I can't even get this straight. Preparing for this conference, and it was an unprepared. It was an untested presentation I was giving. I was talking about shame. I was talking about OCD and kind of taboo thoughts. I was jamming together a bunch of different ideas into a talk, and I hadn't run it in its length, in its entirety, because, well, it was just me presenting it. So I didn't need to like work with somebody else to kind of work out the timing and all that stuff. And I'm relatively confident in my presenting skills. So I wrote it and I'm kind of getting, you know, kind of trying to tighten it up. And it's like a day before the presentation. And I'm starting to notice kind of this feeling in my chest, particularly the left side of my chest. Now, if anybody's familiar with anatomy, that's typically where your heart is. Now, I have felt like little feelings in that section, and I kind of chalked it up to, it's nothing. You know, it could be like a muscle tension, or it could be, you know, I have lung stuff, so it could be that. I'm like, I don't know, it could be acid reflux. Who freaking knows? So but I was feeling a little bit more than normal. Now, if you have listened to the podcast, you will know that I am an avid coffee drinker. I say avid, that would be generous. I drink way too much coffee, that's to be sure. But I was like, all right, maybe I'm getting a little nervous about this. And then, the day before, I was also feeling a little bit of this. And I'm like, oh no, my heart's going to give out. And so here are the thoughts, right? I'm going to have a heart attack and I'm going to die. Now, there are heart-related things going on in my family, so that was contributing to this thought. Grandparents and things like that. So there was that thought. The reality of coffee. I've had clients be like, hey, you drink way too much coffee. I had a client who is a cardiologist say, hey, you drink too much coffee, or that's a lot. So I'm going, oh no, I'm going to die because of my caffeine intake. And my heart, I've overstressed my heart. I'm also stressed, right? I've stressed because of regular work stuff. I'm stressed because of this presentation. So my brain is going crazy, right? Okay. So I have a watch that takes an EKG or I don't know what it's called. Anyways, a heart monitor test thing. So I bought the watch not for that feature, but it has the feature, so I did it. This is not an iWatch, in case anybody's wondering. Point is, not that it matters. Why do I even mention that? Anyways, so I do the test. It says it's fine, but I schedule an appointment with a doctor. Anyways, now I am not going on the internet even a little bit to check or to read or to evaluate. I'm doing none of that. What I'm doing is I'm taking my test on my little heart thing, and then I schedule an appointment with my real doctor, with my primary physician. So I scheduled that and it was like 3 weeks out. So I'm like, okay, it's the best I can do. All right. So that's what I did. I scheduled it. I did my heart thing. I sent him the results and then I waited. Now, I felt the heart thing periodically during that. And yeah, it crossed my mind. I'm like, well, I'm going to have a heart attack between now and then. I'm like, well, I hope I'm like, I have life insurance. All right. I've got, I've got some retirement set out. So hopefully my kids and my wife are going to be all right with that. And, I'm like, I'll be dead. My wife will be fine. She'll find someone great. But it's like all this stuff and catastrophic, terrifying, really dark thoughts. So I go to see my doctor. My doctor hooks up all this stuff to me. He checks it out. He takes my blood pressure and all this stuff. And he goes, that's fine. He said, everything is fine. Now, that was wildly reassuring. Part of my brain went, sweet, now I can go back to drinking the same amount of coffee I had. I had cut back then in that stretch between my panic and then the doctor's appointment. But the point is that my doctor gave me this reassurance. My real doctor did some tests, checked me out, looked at all the vitals, asked me questions about it, and kind of said, things are fine. Now, fine, he could be missing something. Did it take all the tests? No. But he checked me out and I'm rounding this up to I'm going to treat this as if I am fine. Meaning when that thought comes in my head about my health and about my heart and about whether I'm going to die because of my heart, I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe, but you know what? Probably not. I've got my answer from my doctor and I'm going to hope that that is true. And I'm moving forward with it with that. Now, I'm still going to take care of my health because that's important to me. I would like to live at least a little bit longer. And I'm going to start doing, more health things because now my back doesn't feel as terrible. So I can start exercising more. So I'm going to start doing that. But when the thought comes in that says my heart is a problem, I'm going to rely back on what my doctor said and I'm trusting his answer. Now, if that worry comes up, so this goes back to the talk from doctors Spitalnik and Steer. If I have that worry again, I'm going to schedule another doctor's appointment, or more aptly, I'm going to wait until my next doctor's appointment. And between now and then, I'm going to resist ruminating about it, resist checking, certainly resist Googling it, because that's never going to help anybody ever for any reason ever, never. And I'm going to also resist using my watch to check my heart. My doctor said I'm fine. So unless there is a problem and unless my doctor suggests this is something necessary, I'm going to resist doing that. I would encourage everybody to consider, what are they doing in the meantime? Are they ruminating? Are they checking? Are they Googling? Are they asking? Are they testing their body? Are they mentally inspecting their body? All this stuff, right? And if that's happening, resist doing that. Schedule a doctor's appointment, a real doctor, and trust what they say. Sure, if you want to go to a second opinion, sure, but limit it to that. So I know there's a lot of other caveats and things that we could miss in that. People are raising their questions and all that stuff. But you know what? I've yammered on enough. So there's going to be more podcasts. Sorry, I'm going to not have a heart attack in the meantime, probably. But all right, so let's get on to these questions. So this first question comes from Nia. Nia? Nia? N-I-A. Nia. Let's go with Nia. It's probably Naya. Oh, all right. I'm going to go with Nia anyways. Sorry, Naya, Nia. All right. Sorry. All right. So here's the question. It says, I'm looking for advice on how to handle driving anxieties. I'm learning how to drive. I have a strong avoidance towards driving due to fear of making a mistake. The idea of making big mistakes makes me avoid driving. And when I do drive and make even a little mistake, I ruminate on it. For example, if one of my turns wasn't great, I'll feel anxious and I'll feel like I should keep practicing. The frustration and anxiety tends to stick until I feel like I did a turn that was good. I have my license, but have never driven by myself because of my fear. All right, Nia, great question. Okay, it's Nia. I'm going with Nia. This is a great question. I appreciate this. I appreciate it. A couple of ideas. So number one, I think a lot of people, I'm hearing some perfectionistic tendencies within this, right? So even if there's a little mistake, as you said, you ruminate on it. I imagine that you're also beating yourself up, highly critical about yourself. I imagine there's some mental rumination, or you mentioned that, but some of that can be mental compulsions of thinking back to that turn, over-evaluating, over-scrutinizing every little step within it, trying to think about what you'd do differently, what you'd do better, maybe giving into some crystal ball reading of potential scenarios in which you make those mistakes in the future and you harm someone, harm yourself, damage property, etc. Maybe having some, engaging in further fantasies, or maybe engaging in some just negative self-talk. I'm terrible. I'm awful. I'm a terrible driver. All these things. And so some things to think about with this is, number one, applying some kind language to yourself. Now, this is going to fall in line with more self-compassion. And I think it's really important in cases like this, because it's important to also recognize that, as you said, you're learning how to drive. Yes, you have your license, which I'm going to get to that, but you're learning how to drive. So of course you're not perfect. Now I'll say this, I've been driving for a long time. I've been driving for more than half of my life, and I still make mistakes. Every single driver out there, no matter how good they are, makes mistakes. So in the world of the Kristen Neff's self-compassion, this is going to fall straight in the middle of common humanity. You, Nia, are human, like me, like everybody else out there. And like me, you make mistakes. And that's part of it. You're going to make errors, and you're not going to be perfect, and you're going to shortcut a turn. You're going to go a little long. You're not going to go directly into the lanes as you turn. You're going to stop a little over the limit line. You're going to stop a little like way before it. You're not going to stop for a full 3 seconds at a stop sign. I don't know. Pick a thing. You're not going to be perfect. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes you're going to get into little fender benders, or you're going to make a mistake, or you're going to drive too fast and you might get a ticket, or you might, you know, not fully stop, or whatever the case may be. And what we call that is normal. Everyone encounters that at some point. So part of this is to start with recognizing that you are human and that that's okay, and that it's good that you're human, because you're learning. And as you're learning, you make mistakes. And then when we do, a typical way to respond to a mistake is to acknowledge the mistake and go, all right, here's something that I did that I can do better at. So this is going to kind of fall in the camp of the Brené Brown mindset between shame and guilt. She talks about shame. She talks about people faring better, doing better in life when they use guilt language rather than shame language. Shame language says, I'm awful. I'm terrible. Guilt language says, I'm still a worthy and good person, but I made a mistake, right? Shame language doesn't consider that I'm still good and made an error. It's I'm bad, therefore all I can expect is bad stuff. Guilt language says, man, I made a mistake. I'm still a good person. I'm learning. I'm a worthy human, and I made a mistake like a human. All right, so that means if I made a mistake, I can reflect back on what I did that was in error, and I can change that in the future and do something different in the next time. Now, I also, so while that's still important, I also wonder if you're also being hypercritical and you're expecting perfection when adequate is enough. You're expecting there to be no errors and expecting to be like by the book, exactly driving the way that, you know, the ideal DMV would want you to have. This is presuming that you're in America. And that's not the case, because the vast majority of people aren't that. We're looking for good enough. All right. Now, one thing that you can do is you can ask for reassurances. Now, I know that some people are going to go, oh my gosh, Kevin's saying reassurances. Yes, I am. Because what we can do with this is you can say, hey, to your trusted friend or family. Now, don't ask a lot of these. I would argue that this should be one and done, but have a trusted family member with you who's experienced in driving, who you believe that they are a good and reliable source for driving. And then ask them, hey, how was that turn? And they're going to say, it's fine. Or they're going to say it was good. Or they're going to say it was excellent. Or they're going to say you could do a little bit better in this area. And just like I gave you the example of my trusting my doctors, I want you to trust their feedback. They're going to say it was fine, and you're going to go, okay. And I want you to chalk that up to that turn or that acceleration or that deceleration or that stop or the whatever it is to good enough. And with that good enough, you're going to move on. And you're going to resist the effort to reflect back on how you did, what you didn't do, what you could have done, what you, quote, should have done. And you're going to say, it was fine. It was good enough. Now, that doesn't mean that that feeling, the urgency is going to drop off, but that means that you are going to shift your focus back to the next thing in driving. Now, in terms of exposures, I want you to practice driving by yourself. Even if it's like your parents or your family or whoever it is just like sitting on a lawn chair in the front of the house and you go around the block by yourself. And then when you come back, they're going to go, yay! And then you're going to go, yay! And then you're going to high five yourself and everyone's going to high five yourself. You're going to high five the dog, all this. And then you're going to get back in the car and you're going to go around two different blocks, I should say. Now, as all this is happening, you're going to be high-fiving yourself and high-fiving them and high-fiving the dog and high-fiving the neighbors and resisting that urge to reflect on how you did. Unless someone says, hey, that was a problem, or here's something you can improve, or if you actually like hit someone or get a ticket, then reflect back on maybe what you can do differently. Again, this is back into that guilt language. All right, I did something that maybe wasn't great, but here's what I can do to improve, and I'm going to do that next time. And then you let yourself experience that by going to do it. Of course, part of this is practice, right? You are going to get better, but every time you go for a drive, I want you to then reflect on what you did effectively, what you did well, what you did sufficiently. And I want you to high five yourself and give yourself praise and acknowledgement for the things that went well. I'm willing to bet you only reflect on that which is not going to your standard of perfection or all or nothing. Because you, like a lot of us, do that. I'm willing to bet. I'm reading your mind, Naya. Nia? What did I say? Nia? Anyways, point is, you're going to keep going, but you're going to say, all right, I did this well. Part of that is boosting yourself, your self-esteem, and acknowledging that which you're doing fine. We need to do more of that in life so that you can show your brain that I'm an effective driver, and hopefully that can start to shut down that negative critical voice and that questioning voice. So I'm kind of pulling from the inference or It doesn't matter. I'm gonna kick myself for this later. It doesn't matter. So it's the inhibitory learning model. Gosh, my brain. All right. The inhibitory learning model. We're learning that you are a sufficient driver because there's this current thought that says you're not. All right. Part of this is boosting what you did well, resisting that mental rumination in the hypercritical state, giving yourself positive feedback, giving yourself kind words, and part of that, again, that self-compassion, right? What would you say to somebody else in your shoes? Would you beat them up the way you beat you up? Would you recommend that they ruminate about this excessively like you do? Or would you say, you know what, you got this. You'll do this next time. You'll be better next time. So back to the license. The state has said you're good enough, all right? You have a license. Now, a license doesn't mean that you are the best driver in the world, but it says we think that you are good enough to drive on the street. We need to use that as part of that positive feedback to say, I'm not the worst, I'm not the best, but I can improve and I'm good enough to be driving. I want you to practice driving by yourself. Now, of course, you can practice scripting or watching videos about getting into car crashes and all this stuff, but I think for right now, practicing response prevention and compassion is going to be, I would wager that would be the best way to go at this time. So, Naya, thank you so much for this question. So let's get off to this next question, because I'm getting a text from my wife saying, we have to get going because we have a road trip. We're driving to Sacramento this weekend, and I've got to drive for 7 hours or something like that. All right, so here we go. Here's this next question. The last question for today comes from Ab. Ab says, hey, I have anxiety and maybe OCD, I think. Well, you're in the right place. I have a huge fear of getting schizophrenia, psychosis, or going crazy. Any tips on how to deal with this? Yes, I do. All right, first off, there are plenty of resources out there about psychosis, schizophrenia, OCD, going crazy, OCD, whatever you want to call it. I believe I've done the one, and in fact, I spent a few minutes trying to look for my past episode on this. I felt it was an early one, but this is episode 181. I've been doing this for 5.5 years. I don't remember them. I don't remember all of them. So unfortunately, they're out there. All right. Here's some things just in a nutshell that you can do. So first, we need to be aware of what is catching your attention that makes you think you're going crazy. Is it simply an intrusive thought? With that intrusive thought, is there some distorted thinking going on, right? Are you hyper-focusing on a type of thinking? Are you hyper-focusing on a pattern of thinking? Is there a particular thought that leads you to this? Is it just simply a statement that says, you're going crazy, you're developing schizophrenia, right? Are you attributing the internal narrative, the internal monologue that we all have, to a internal voice? Right? Now, some of this, what I would encourage you to do actually is to talk with a therapist on this. And I think this is a good way to evaluate first, is to evaluate, or have them rather evaluate kind of what's going on. Go and talk with them about what you're experiencing, what your thoughts are, what your emotions are, and let them do an official assessment to discern whether or not this is anxiety and OCD, or in fact, there is schizophrenia, psychosis going on. Now, it's important to do that as a one and done checking, right? Like I said, like I mentioned about going to the doctor, go to a person who can have a realistic and a effective, give you effective feedback on this, rather than just ruminating about it, going online, etc. Right? I'm gonna bet, Ab, perhaps you are not qualified to assess for and diagnose schizophrenia. Now you might be, but you might not be. So if that's this, I remember I was in grad school and I was going to see a therapist on campus for a number of reasons. But I went in, I was like, hey, I kind of think, you know, I'm wondering if I'm experiencing this, this, and this. And they went, well, typically, if someone comes in and they say they're wondering if they have this, this, and this, usually that's because they went through a Psych 1 class and they learned about these things, and all of a sudden they think that everybody, including themselves, has them. However, because you're going through a master's degree and you are in your, I think it was in my last semester at the time, so I'd gone through a lot of diagnosis and a lot of I learned a lot about schizophrenia, et cetera. I learned a lot about mental health by that time. So they said, well, we're going to trust you on this. And we kind of moved on that and we talked a little bit more about it. And lo and behold, I was right. But point is that sometimes we learn about these things. We hear about these things. We watch a video about these things. We just simply watch a movie about someone going crazy. And we go, oh no, maybe I'm going crazy. And sometimes the fear of going crazy is the core fear of what if something changes forever within me? What if something is gonna, what if something changes about my character, about my mind, about the way I relate to myself, others in the world, that can never go back, and I will not be me anymore, and there will be debilitation, and there will be problems forever, and schizophrenia and psychosis kind of wrap themselves up in that. And schizophrenia is rife for a target for that fear. And this is kind of the core fear we're talking about of something irrevocably changing. So it might be that, right? I know I talk about the core fear a lot, and like, so for you, Ab, like, what is so scary about the idea of developing schizophrenia? Is it, and it could be, I might go crazy and I might kill people. So at the core of it, it might be that you're a violent person and you're prone to hurting other people. Right? So there's a lot of things that can be unpacked with this. And again, unpack this with a therapist, with a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a social worker, MFT, whatever it might be. Anyways, so you can check into those things. Now, I would have you focus on what is it that you're doing in response to this thought? What are your compulsions? Are you going online and Googling a bunch of things? Are you watching movies and comparing yourself? Are you looking at YouTube videos of people who do in fact have schizophrenia and comparing and contrasting your behaviors or your thoughts? Are you watching documentaries on psychosis and schizophrenia? Are you asking your friends, hey, do you think was that normal? Was that okay? Right? Just to have them go like, no, it's fine. So you go, oh, okay, good. I don't have schizophrenia. And I'll say, what do they know? Now, pulling back, resisting, or eliminating as many compulsive behaviors that give you certainty that you're okay and not going nuts is one of the most important things that you can do. Beyond that, you can say, you know what, maybe I am. And that's going to feel uncomfortable. Maybe I am, but I'm not going to check. I'm not going to try to stop it. I'm going to let it happen. And then you live your life. You just move on. You move on going to class, going to school, going to work, talking to your friends, talking to your family, raising your kids, whatever it is that you're doing. You just keep going. Maybe I am. Maybe today's the day that I'm going to go crazy. Maybe today's the day that I develop schizophrenia. Possible. And then you keep going. My rule of thumb is this. If you, in fact, go crazy, someone will tell you. And that someone is going to be a police officer, a doctor, a psychiatrist, someone in that realm. It's not going to be your friends who are kind of jerks and be like, you're crazy. It's not going to be like, you know, your husband and wife and be like, hey, you know, you washing your hands 15 times is kind of crazy, right? It's not that, okay? It is someone who is some authority in mental health or public safety who is going to inform you that something you're doing is beyond normal, beyond the average person, and has delved into the world of schizophrenia. There's a break in your relationship with the world, right? It's like, in the way that you think, in the way that you're relating to other people. And until they tell you, they haven't told you. And if they haven't told you, well, we're going to round up to, you know, maybe it's not true. Now, it may happen. Maybe it's already happened. I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to keep going in life, and I'm going to wait. And I'm going to live the best possible life I can until I go crazy. And I'm telling you that with me. I'm going to live the best possible life I can until I go crazy, until I get a heart attack, or until I don't know, kill and eat my wife and my children. I don't know. I'm probably not going to do that, but we'll see. It's going to be a long weekend. So, point is that we wait. We acknowledge the thought, we acknowledge the feeling, and we say, man, this is scary, and boy, I don't want this to happen, but I have no control over it. And me Googling, me ruminating about it, me checking on it, me asking my friends about it ain't helping either. So those are some things that you can do about it. I hope this very brief answer helps. So Ab, thank you so much. Nia, I messed it up for the whole third way. I called you Mia. Maya? Nia? Anyways, you, the first questioner, I hope this was helpful. Thank you all so much for these questions, and keep them coming, everybody. I love doing this podcast. This is super fun, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to the Fearcast. If you would like your question answered on a future episode, please click on the Submit a Question link at fearcastpodcast.com. If you would like your question answered sooner, please send me a recording of your question to questions@fearcastpodcast.com or by sending me an audio message through Instagram by DMing me at fearcastpodcast on Instagram. If you like the Fearcast, please write a review on your podcast platform of choice. Please remember that the Fearcast is not a substitute for psychotherapy. If you need a little bit of help in your recovery, please go over to fearcastpodcast.com and click on the Find Help link, and there's going to be some information for you there. So until next time, take a risk, challenge yourself, and don't take your brain too seriously.